As you guys know, in the last Sunday, I was sick with the flu for 2.5 days. And Tuesday, I was better. And followed by Wednesday, I had an abscess tooth and extraction for 2 days. I was very much in pain. At the end of the Thursday night, I was murmuring to myself, "I feel your pain, Job." And now I have a sinus infection. And my wife Karen and Jerry Hemby asked me, "Do you still want to continue in the job?" Yeah. Why not? But what I went through the last week is pales in comparison with what the Job is about to face. And he had no idea what it would be like. And he would have had no idea that he would be the focus of the spiritual battle. He is about to face probably most excruciating losses and the severe test that he ever endured. And he seems like he's entering into the dark, dark tunnel and with unknown period of time. Through Job's struggle and triumph, and rising above the typical humanistic selfish desire, we are going to learn some valuable lessons only from this particular book, no other book. This book, the Bible, the Word of God. Let's stop here and pray. Father, we pray that we may learn from Job. His godly example, his devout heart to follow you, to honor you, in spite of all the circumstance that he was facing. The majority of people would have given up and cursed your name, but he turned around and blessed your name. Let us be the one who had a heart for you. The only way we can learn is from your word. Father, we also pray for the President Obama that he may have that heart. First, he may come to know Jesus as his Savior and Lord. And we pray for our troops, wherever they are, those who are in, especially those who are in harm's way, Father, we are asking you to watch over them, keep them safe, and bring them back to their families. To their homes. And we also pray for our law enforcement personnel and the firefighters, especially lifting up those who attend our church. We're asking you to you protect them. We pray for the election. We're asking your hand to be upon them. And you're willing, you put the one who has a heart for you to be in the office. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 13 of chapter 1 of Job, please. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkey feeding us beside them. And the Sibian raised them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servant, and consumed them. I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, also another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed the three bands and raided the camel and took them away, and killed the servant with the edge of the sword. I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "That your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they were dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While Job's livestock were grazing on the green pasture and on the rolling hills. Everything seems okay, and their family is enjoying prosperity. But one disaster message after another were coming to him. I don't believe that there is any spiritual significance in these four attacks by the Satan that was allowed by the sovereign God. Don't try to put some special analogy in the spiritual attack here, other than what we are going to know. Here's the thing. This shows that the Satan was focused on maximizing his advantage. He was dishing out everything against Job within the limit of God's allowance. Get it? Get this, folks? Any foothold we give to Satan is dangerous. You hear me? Any foothold we give to Satan is dangerous. We can expect that he will maximize any advantage given to him. To you and I, it might be a tiny, tiny, itsy-bitsy, tiny compromise. But to him, it's enough foothold. And he has enough room to stand on. Now, he will have a room to stand on in your life and demand what needs to be done. Don't let it happen. The first wave of satanic attack against Job began. Job even had observed the magnitude of these four attacks, one after another. And finally, the tragic news of the death of all of his children, destroying everything in the past like an enraged, enormous tidal wave. Do you remember stock market crash between the September and November of 2008? Dow Jones dropped almost 4,000 points from 13,000 to below 9,000. According to one media source, the people in the United States lost $13 trillion. $13 trillion. Which means the net worth of American household fell 18% lower. So if you had $100,000 total asset, $20,000, practically $20,000 has gone down the drain and you cannot get it back. Just disappeared. How much billionaire that Warren Buffett lost? He lost $13.6 billion. $13.6 billion. You can look at it in two different ways. You can say, you can be happy that your loss is not in millions, billions like his, or you can say, well, you wish that you had billions to lose. Depends on how you look at it. Then, with this Job situation, one person might raise a question. It sounds like God is wagering at the cost of Job's wealth and the lives of his 10 children. Isn't that cruel for God to do such things? The answer is yes and no. Yes and no. Why do I say that? Yes, from the satanic point of view and the humanistic point of view, it is cruel. God is doing it just to prove his point. But no, absolutely no, from God's point of view, it's not a wager to God. After all, he is the creator of the universe. He is the giver of life. And wealth and the children's lives were God's to begin with. And even if Satan destroyed the wealth of Job and the children's lives, God can simply restore the 10 lives and riches back to Job like as before. If God could not replace them as before, yes, there would be wages. Am I making sense to you? Speaking of death, as a pastor, I do a lot of funerals and memorial services. But nothing is worse than doing the children's memorial service or funeral service. And it seems that the pain is too real, the wound is too raw for any parents to manage. There are more questions than answers And how are you going to explain why your precious child is dead? There is a place a person who faces these kinds of losses can have a face time with the first, with the denial, anger, resentment, and bitterness to God. Or you can simply run to Him and find the shelter in Him. At the funeral, I rarely preach. Rather, I tell people where they can find the comfort. The peace that passes all men's understanding that comes from God alone. You and I must learn from this. We never know ahead of time plan God has for us. This day started just like any other day. Job had no prior knowledge or warning. Our Heavenly Father's plan unfolded apart from our awareness. Just in case you haven't noticed, He doesn't need our permission. And our work is a work of faith, not by sight. Trust, not by touch. Leaning long and hard, but not running away. No one knows ahead of time what the Father planned for us. That's the best way to do it. Well, whatever God planned, let it be. It's not like you can change it. It may be a treasured blessing, or it could be the test that dropped us to our knee. He knows us ahead of time, and He's not obligated to warn us about it or remind us that it's coming on the horizon. We can be certain of this. Our God knows what is best. I like what the Saint Augustine says. Trust the past to the mercy of God, the present to His love, and the future to His providence. Well said. Go to verse 20, please. And Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head. And he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with his wrong. Quite appropriately, Job mourned his tremendous loss by tearing his robe and shaving his head. Nowadays, it's the in thing, but during the time, it was not an in thing. It was showing the extreme grief. Now, we must think that after taking this step, he would lash out to God, but letting this terrible calamity happening to him. Can you imagine? Probably see, if Job could see with his spiritual eyes, Satan is just standing next to Job. Now, say it. Lash it out unto God. And he was waiting for the Job to spew out the long string of a curse on God. But he did something unthinkable for Satan. He blessed the name of the Lord. Does it mean that Job broke into the song of praise and worship? I think not. But I can be certainly sure that he was acknowledging the sovereignty of his God, who knows all things and who knows his mourning heart. Job refused to give in to the bitterness. You can be bitter or you can be better. The book of Job goes deeply into the subject of theodicy. It's a fancy theological word that deals with the relationship of the divine justice to human suffering. Theodicy is a combination, in return, is representing two words, two Greek words. Theos, in Greek, is a god. Or the dikaios, which means justice. The suffering of mankind represents one of the life's greatest and most difficult mysteries. In order to gain a godly perspective of our suffering, we must not only acknowledge God's sovereignty, but also we need to understand the difference between God's active will and God's permissive wills. You follow me? Let me explain. God often chooses to step into time zone. He's above time, so everything is a past, present, future are same to him. But he stepped into our time zone and actively working miracle and saving lives and dramatically answering our prayers. When he does so, that he demonstrates his will, known as active will. And he actively reaches into our lives to change our circumstance. In this way, he demonstrates his love and goodness and mercy toward us. Am I making sense to you? But God is also just. Let's not forget that. God is loving, yet God is very just. When sin entered into the world through Adam, suffering was a part of curse, part of the curse of first human brought to mankind. God allowed this to happen as a result of man's willful obedience, the disobedience. Don't ever think that, well, I sinned without realizing. Really? No, you knew exactly what you were doing. I knew exactly what I was doing. It's a willful disobedience. In doing so, he demonstrated his permissive will. So how does this work with Job's case? See, it means that God allowed Job's suffering at the hand of Satan, but he didn't cause that suffering. Job was loved by God immensely and intimately. Thus, God allowed the trials in Job's life and would help him to grow and mature spiritually. By the way, we are going to deal a little bit more specifically about spiritual maturity next week. Remember, God saw the future before there was existence of the future of Job. He knew that Job had a faith that was strong enough to endure all these tests and come out good. So he allowed the test to come. Do you know how many times the word justice was mentioned in the Bible? 129 times. If you have a New King James Version, 129 times. All in Old Testament. Do you know how many times the word fairness showed up in the Bible? Fairness. Not once. Not once. So we all know that cliche. Life ain't what? Fair. Exactly. Life may not be the fair sometimes, but the word of God tells us that God is always just. And you may say, well, with the current judiciary system, it seems like it's not right for the victims. God will deal with those people. It's far worse with him than what the judiciary system can do on earth. When we face difficult struggles, keep this in mind, that God isn't punishing you or turning his back on you. In fact, he will use your trials to draw you into a closer fellowship with himself. God does not waste trials and tests for nothing. One of the greatest lessons we learn from the Job is that you cannot take it with you. Have you ever heard that? You cannot take it with you. And there's another cliche. There's no U-Haul truck after the hearse. Job recognized everything, including his children, are in his care on loan from God. He didn't own it, rather God did. The problem rises when we think that we own particular things, that's when it owns us. But those who think that you have everything, you earned everything, no, you did not earn it. God allowed you to earn it. I find the three profound aspects from the Job's comment in verse 21. Start with back to verse 21, please. We're going to dissect it in three different sections. First portion. First one, Job looked back to his birth. Naked I came from my mother's womb. You see, folks, everything was given by God, and the same God who gave it, and the right he has a right to take it back from him. And Job simply acknowledged that he is a steward. Then somebody will ask, is a God Indian giver? By the way, American Indian get this bad name for that Indian giver. Actually, it's the wrong way to translate. Indian giver means they came to this Western settler. They brought something. They handed to them. They were hoping that they would trade. That was their currency. They were expecting, okay, I give you something. I'm expecting you to give me back. And then Westerners think, oh, thank you, gift. Okay, bye. And the Indian people say, oh, no, I want something back. If you're not going to give me back, then let me have it back. So that's how the Indian giver started. God is not that way. He owns everything. So he has a right to take it back if he chooses to. Second portion of the verse 21, he looked ahead of his death. And naked I shall return there. There, it doesn't mean the mother's womb. No, he knew that he could not return to mother's womb. But he would bury in the ground and return to the dust. Nothing that we acquire between our birth and death would go with us into our next spiritual world. In case you think otherwise, I have a Bible verse to prove to you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Have you ever heard that joke? This guy, he is a penny pincher. He's been saving all this money. And he's about to die, and so he told his wife, and he said, I'm about to die. I have $100,000 cash in the pot. And before I die, I want you to put that pot in the attic. So on the way up to heaven, I'll take it with me. So she promptly, she did. And after he died, she went up to the attic. There's $100,000 cash in the pot still there. And said, oh, I should put it in the basement. Folks, it's clear. We came with nothing. We go as nothing. Between our date of birth and the end of the date of death, there's a little dash. That's our life. Make the best of it for the Lord. Third point, aspect is in the last portion of verse 21, he looked up, uttered one of the most magnificent statements of faith in the Bible. Let's read. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Instead of cursing God, as Satan said Job would do, and he blessed the name of the Lord. It's the one thing to say, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. But it's a completely different thing to say what this man Job did. It shows a real faith in God to say what he did in the midst of sorrow and suffering. Three applications. Number one, don't give an inch to Satan. If you do, he'll be a ruler over you. Number two, I'm quoting what St. Augustine said. It's so good, no sense in changing it. Trust the past, to the mercy of God, present to the love of God, and the future to the providence of God. Third application, when we face a difficult struggle, keep in mind that God isn't punishing you or turning his back on you. In fact, he will use your trial to draw you into closer fellowship with him than ever before. All right, let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And thank you for the lesson we learned from through this man, the godly man Job. Father, we are asking you to speak to our heart throughout the week and throughout the month, throughout the years. While we are still remaining here, let us draw near to you each and every day. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.